Today on CityCast Denver. Denver's minimum wage is going up in January, and restaurant owners are beginning to talk about raising menu prices. But as we discussed on the show a few weeks ago, Denverites are already feeling tipping fatigue. So who's this going to hurt most?
While my wage is going up, I still get taxed just like you do. I'm still going through inflation just like you are. So please do not assume that I am making so much more than you are.
I wanted to hear from people currently working in the service industry. So we reached out to Brad, Samantha, and Bill of the hilarious Three Stars podcast. They're service industry veterans, and every week they read Yelp reviews and review customers right back. And let me tell you, they don't mince words. Today is Monday, October 24th, 2022. I'm Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver.
Well, Samantha, Brad, and Bill, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So I wanted to talk to you all because Denver's minimum wage is going up in January, and we've been talking about this idea of, quote, tipping fatigue on the show, and we haven't actually heard from folks in the service industry. We've talked to restaurant owners, which I think is a very different perspective than the people on the floor.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to talk to you all about what you thought about the minimum wage increase and this idea of tipping fatigue. I'm skeptical. That's why I say it that way.
Well, I think we're all skeptical.
I'm not familiar.
All of us can. You're not familiar with tipping fatigue?
Tipping fatigue, no.
So no, I was like, is this a media created thing?
Well, yeah, I think so.
I don't know if it's media created. I've listened to that episode of yours twice now.
Okay.
I listened to it and then I got home and I said, Samantha, you need to listen to this episode. And then we listened to it together. And it is such a huge living organism, the idea of tipping.
Yes.
And
that's a great way to put it.
And it's changed so much just in the last 2 years because of the pandemic.
Okay.
That I think it was Peyton who nailed it when she said that there's no set standard anymore in how tipping works, right? It used to just be here's a percentage, you know, meet this percentage and you're good, bad, or ugly, right?
Right. Like I know now a lot of times at the bottom of a bill, it says 15% is this, 20% is this. When I was waiting tables, that didn't exist. You were like crossing your fingers. Somebody was good at math. You know what
right.
I mean? And was a nice person.
Yeah. And I remember when that started, because even within the industry, we weren't excited about that. We felt like it was limiting people to knowing that they wouldn't go over. And then there were issues of, well, wait, this is only telling the percentage pre-tax. So am I going to lose money because I'm still paying my support staff based on my taxed amount? I mean, it was a big question mark when that started.
So how do you guys feel about, I mean, you said things changed in the last 2 years. Tell me about that. I mean, I know that's the understatement of the century, right? Is like, oh my gosh, tell me about how the pandemic decimated whatever industry you're in. But we saw it so visibly as customers. I don't know what that felt like or what the experience was for you all on the service side of it.
That was fatigue. COVID fatigue was a thing. Mm-hmm. Like it was really awkward for me. Like I'm already kind of awkward and I don't know, weird. But getting back into engaging with people, even in that sense, it was difficult.
I think in terms of the tipping, what really changed was how people tipped at first. I mean, we were getting these massive tips in the beginning because people were just super happy just to be back in a bar or a restaurant.
And maybe feeling empathetic, like, I can't imagine what it's like for you. I want to try to be a nice customer.
Correct.
I think that lasted
a week.
It lasted a couple months as things opened up more and more. I mean, at the time I was working in the airport, most places closed in the airport, but where I worked did not. And so right out of the gate, like you were just getting these huge sympathy tips. But then as more and more people started traveling again, the sympathy tips dropped. In terms of the process of tipping,
I'll take your money, dude. I don't care what your reasons are.
Just think about going place to place. For instance, where Bill works, there's an automatic 20% gratuity on absolutely every transaction.
And I'm going to ask you about that in a minute.
Yep.
Because so, I am confused as a customer.
So that's changed, okay. Right, where he works. And he makes a much larger hourly. You know, forget about the minimum wage going up. It's way above and beyond the minimum wage because they have to account for, well, what would a service industry professional make? Right. So
what does a service industry professional make hour? Is there a bait? Because we were called out for this fairly. Like, I have not worked in a restaurant for 15 years. I don't know what you make base pay.
You're still writing on pads of paper, like shorthand. Like,
yes.
Wow. I remember that.
I think the Colorado minimum wage for tipped employees is
12, right?
No, I think it's like 940 something.
Yeah. Okay. So it still isn't very
much. It's not
a
lot.
Right. But then in the city of Denver, it's $12.85 or $12.87, somewhere around there.
Okay.
And then it is set to go up by another $1.20-something, $1.30-something in January. In Denver, it'll end up being still over $14 an hour, but then in the rest of Colorado, it's not that much. It's not as high, right?
$12.56 is what Google says. Apparently, yep. $7.25 is still the federal minimum wage, which is
whoa. Right.
That's crazy.
Right. And that's great. Well, $7.25 is the federal minimum wage for non-tipped employees. The federal minimum wage for tipped employees is still $2.13.
Wow.
So there are a whole bunch of states out there
that are still operating on the
$2.13 an hour.
And I think that's totally part of the problem. I think it's part of a bigger issue, you know, just like how we treat employees
in
general. Yeah.
Who do customer service facing jobs. Samantha, what do you think about the minimum wage going up? Does it matter to you?
I think it's great, but at the end of the day, no, it doesn't really matter. I will say that working downtown Denver and now working out at the airport, which is Denver County, and we do get paid $12.56 as opposed to the $9 something. But, you know, this day and age, the way inflation has increased horribly in the last year, nobody is making a decent wage to live anywhere, really.
It's true.
Bezos is doing just fine.
Bezos is going to Mars,
but
dude.
I think that's my argument, too, though, is like, even if we keep raising the minimum wage, we're still not adjusting all these other issues that folks are facing, which is rising rents or mortgage costs.
Mm-hmm. Groceries.
Food, grocery costs are bananas. Gas.
Out of control.
Yeah, gas or however you choose or are able to get around. But I just wonder, because I think there's this narrative that, like, someone who doesn't work in any sort of customer-facing position just hears, well, the minimum wage keeps going up, everybody should be fine. And it's like, no. We're also battling all these other market forces.
Right, yeah. Because it's not just the minimum wage going up, right?
It's everything else.
I mean, everyone felt gas prices.
So, Bill, I think you brought this up, but this service charge idea. And so I'm a customer. I'm being asked by my favorite restaurant to pay a service fee. And I'm fine with it, but I don't know where it goes.
The way they explain it to me is it's divvied up amongst everyone on the staff.
So do any of you guys work in that sort of environment that utilizes that service fee thing?
Yeah, we have an automatic service fee.
You do.
I mean, it's nice. It's consistent. You know, it allows me to work day shifts, which otherwise I probably wouldn't be able to get away with. But
because night shifts, you tend to make more money for someone who doesn't.
Yeah,
because
you have more volume, so you're getting more customers and more tips in theory. So it's nice in that regard.
So does that 20% or the 22% or whatever it is that the tip?
Yeah, they call it a service fee because it's not necessarily a tip because it's not like it's going in my pocket. I'm getting a fraction of it. Like, it's all divvied up at the end of the day, like, and distributed based on how many hours.
Okay. So I should still tip more.
Yeah. Always carry
That's
cash.
My real question.
I was just reading on Google how, like, half of Americans or something are, like, cashless or 40%. And I just, like, that just boggles my mind, dude. I'm like, I can't live like that.
But that's something I've started to do is think about carrying cash for that reason, because I will pay a service fee, like I said, but, like, I also want to tip my server.
Yeah, because that goes directly. When cash tips are still same as they have been, you know, that, I mean, you might split it with other bartender or something, but.
So if you're, like, person that likes to tip, be nice.
Yeah, carry cash, dude.
Yeah, if you like tipping more than 20%, then where Bill works, there is not an option to tip more on your card or on that tab.
Oh, there's not.
Which I think is kind of problematic.
Right. You if you're going to tip more, you have to be able to tip in cash because they otherwise can't accept it any other way.
Okay.
And the place that I work, we don't do any sort of like automatic gratuity or anything like that, but we do a 3% kitchen surcharge.
What is that?
So that goes to paying the kitchen staff a higher wage. And the way it was explained to me, because everybody freaked out when it was happening, but we're not the only place that does it.
Sure.
But the way it was explained to me was that the company, in advance of knowing whether or not this 3% was going to cover anything, they gave everyone in the kitchen an increase. And then that 3% is expected to make up those wages that they're now increasing in the kitchen. Hmm. And if the 3% is more than what they have had to pay out in their increase, then they will increase their pay again. So they're not keeping any of the money within the company. It is dedicated to paying the back of house a higher wage.
Winding through the canyon, her anticipation rose. Monarch Casino Resort Spa, the epitome of mountain chic. Her pulse raced as she sat down at a high-limit Baccarat table. Hungry? She chose the Southwest Fusion flavors of Bistro Mariposa before ascending to Bliss, a top-rated spa Monarch, for a signature massage treatment. She slept well in her luxurious hotel room, fulfilled by her stay. Write your own story at monarchblackhawk.com.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
So if the minimum wage goes up, does that impact these situations that are set up now within various restaurants and bars? And
I mean, I'm pretty sure my base pay is going to go up. I can't remember what. I think it's already 15. So, okay. I mean, it might not affect me at all in that sense.
Right. It might not affect you at all because you're already making well above the minimum wage.
Yeah.
It affects Samantha and I because we will get that increase because our tips are not guaranteed, right? Bill's tips are guaranteed. He's guaranteed
because of the service charge.
Whatever,
yeah, as long as I'm on the clock,
fraction of that 20% ends up being when it's all divvied up. Mine and Samantha's are not. So will it affect us? Sure, we're going to make another $40 a week. Right, that's great. But
it's kind of a drop.
It's kind of a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. If we want to go out to eat, it's not covering us going out to eat again. Right.
Right. Okay. Wow. I'm not sure what to do because it seems different per restaurant.
Well, it is different per location. And I mean, while the guaranteed tip is nice, it takes away from some of the benefits of working this kind of work, because I'm used to getting paid every single day, some sense,
Oh, so you don't now that you have this service?
No, now I'm
on a paycheck?
I get a paycheck every 2 weeks. Like, it's a tough transition.
I don't take my credit card tips home as cash anymore.
Yeah, it gets put on your paycheck. That's...
Yeah, and same thing with Samantha, where Samantha works, credit card tips go on the paycheck.
And that's so Uncle Sam gets his cut.
Which is another reason tipping cash is a good idea.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'll tell you what, I was very scared when that happened. Very scared that now I wasn't going to be making as much money as I was used to and all these things and, to be nervous about. But I'll tell you what, my ability to manage my income became much greater. Knowing that I had a paycheck coming and I had to budget accordingly was dialed in. Knowing that my taxes are being paid and covered, knowing that when we went to apply for a loan for a home, it was not an issue based on our
income.
Because we had documented income.
Right.
I will say that I'm excited for tax season for the first time in a long time.
I know. I was like, I've never heard a server say
I know.
Interesting. So, okay, Samantha, what do you wish that you could tell customers right now when it comes to this conversation about someone comes in and says, well, your minimum wage is going up, so do I need to tip you? What do you think folks are missing who aren't working in the industry as we see these changes?
Oh, I would tell them a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you did short episodes.
I know, yeah.
So much.
So the bottom line is, while my wage is going up, I still get taxed just like you do. I'm still going through inflation just like you are.
Yeah.
So please do not assume that I am making so much more than you are. I still have to pay out my support staff, my bartenders, and my hostesses.
I think that's something a lot of people don't understand is it's like a team effort, it's not.
I agree. I totally agree. It's not just that the kitchen makes your food. There's somebody that puts it together.
There's a lot of things that go unseen that people don't really acknowledge.
You Samantha just touched on something that I think most people also don't realize. And that's, you know, when we get this wage increase, this doesn't happen to us all the time. I mean, right now there is a system that's been set up where there are wage increases in Colorado, but that does not happen within the service industry. Bree, you actually, I read about you being excited. This is like, you know, you finally have one job, right? Instead of like six jobs or whatever. And on an annual basis, you probably get a review, and according to that review and all these things, you get some sort of an increase in your salary, right? We don't get that at all.
We get reviews, though.
Yeah, we definitely get reviews.
We get the reviews, yeah.
But we don't, in the service industry, yeah, there's no process for us to have our wages increase, unless maybe like you
work in
lead
a hotel
server, lead bartender, or something like that. You're taking, you know, some sort of extra work on, but that's usually one person or two people in
the restaurant.
So you may
be kind of stuck at one wage for a long time,
for years. We all started in the industry at $2.13 an hour.
Mm. Yeah. Is there a Colorado stereotype that's like a good tipper, like a skier or a stoner, or like a oil and gas man?
Oil guys are great.
Are they
strippers? Boy, I love strippers.
I don't think there's like one type of person that you can guarantee is going to be the ultimate amazing tipper. I have been noticing that there are gems. They pay attention and they watch what I do and they see everything and they'll leave nice tips, and not just a nice tip, but a cute little note. You know, thank you very much.
Notes.
You made my morning. It started off right. Thank you.
Samantha's a huge note lever.
I'm a huge note lever. Yes.
And because, she's a good tipper.
Yes, I am. Because you know what? At the end of the day, I don't know what my server or bartender is going through.
Right.
I have had days where I've worked with migraines and I've struggled to be as patient and as kind and as lovely as possible. And my customers don't know that I'm going through a migraine. They just see what looks like a grumpy server to them.
Sure.
And so I never want to be on the other side of that coin and thinking, wow, they're a terrible server. They just ruin my entire experience.
God, but when that does happen, when they legit are a bad server and you're in the industry, you know, it's like almost, I think someone's worse. I'm like,
but
do you want
know
me to
what?
Clock in, dude?
I understand
Samantha
that.
Samantha still leaves them a note,
a nice
though.
Note, because you don't know the full story.
Yeah,
Samantha
true.
Tries to change their day,
and
turn it around.
That's when I just leave 20%.
And that's the thing. Yes, you never know what's going on. And being in the industry, you understand that your server has to tip out the hostess, the bussers, the bartenders. They may have to tip out the cooks. I worked in a place where we gave 10% of every single food item we sold to our cooks.
Whoa.
Good for that. Great.
Yeah,
awesome.
But it shouldn't come out of your...
But it shouldn't come out of my pocket.
And your customer doesn't know that. I mean, fair enough. Your customer doesn't know that. So what I'm taking from this, from you all, since you work in this, is the service fee exists at some places, you're still totally fine to tip more if you want.
Yeah. Like carry
and
cash
is a good way to do it.
And, yes.
And okay. Venmo, like cash apps are great.
Okay. Well, Samantha, Bill, and Brad, thank you so much.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you
guys. I appreciate you dispelling some of these myths and helping our listeners understand that tipping's still cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's okay. It really is. It's okay.
Yeah, we went out last night and I was just handing out money everywhere.
Thank you so much.
Thank
this
you.
This is great. For more from Brad, Bill, and Samantha, I highly recommend subscribing to the 3 Stars podcast. And not just because they invited me to join them for an episode that's coming out soon, but also because they know the restaurant world and they do not hold back. Seriously, check it out. I'll drop a link in our show notes. And here's what else Denverites are talking about. Red Rocks is now working to become more accessible to concertgoers with disabilities. According to the Colorado Sun, the upgrades are coming after a lawsuit settlement that required the city of Denver, who owns the venue, to pay $48,000 to concert attendees who claimed they were charged more for accessible seating. The changes will include more seating for people with disabilities and their companions, repaved ramps with better handrails, and upgrades for the visibility of ASL interpreters. And finally, an update to our episode last week with Westward editor Patty Calhoun and this moment of flux at Larimer Square. Well, The Denver Post reports that two more restaurants are following Bistro Vendome off the fancy historic shopping strip by the end of the year. Frank and Jacqueline Bonanno are closing their speakeasy, Green Russell, and looking for a new location for their steakhouse, Russell's Smokehouse. In a statement, they said, quote, "The new owners of historic Larimer Square, Asana Partners, will reimagine Green Russell as a boiler and maintenance room while they renovate the block for elevated office tenants." Yikes. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell Jeff Bezos about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter, Hey Denver, by texting Denver to 66866. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye-bye. I don't know why I wrote this sentence, and it is so much sentence. Too much sentence. I wrote too much sentence here. Much sentence. Let me try this again.